And welcome to the latest episode of Gaming Disassembled. I am your host, Night of Voa, and with us as always is J.Dot Sloan. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. So how are you doing?
I am good. I just wanted to... So here's the thing.
I love it. I love any sentence that starts that way.
So we've been on a little bit, for those who have listened to our first couple episodes, we kind of went on a little bit of an unintended break there. And it wasn't because, as J.Dot would tell you, I'm lazy and didn't edit the show. It is not because of that. It is because we had some technical difficulties on the... the site side of stuff, and account things and things like that. So once we got those rectified, we're now back in business, and it was kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because I was getting into a little bit of a groove before, okay, getting kind of comfortable and stuff. However, it was kind of nice because in that time, I actually got to just like read a bunch of comics, play some games, actually, you know, like, not have that other couple hour commitment that I normally have every week. And I actually got to do some stuff in that time frame. So it was kind of nice. I kind of built up my my vault, so to speak. And I'm not sure about you, but I got to play, like, so here's the list, right? I got to play some more Witcher 2.
You got to play some what? I missed that.
Some more Witcher 2.
Oh, Witcher 2. Okay.
And The Witcher 2. Lollipop Chainsaw. I actually downloaded all the missing DLC for Mass Effect 3. Okay, so then another thing, right? I bought a Kinect.
Oh!
Over these 3 weeks. I bought a Kinect, finally. We've been looking to get one, and I walked into a GameStop, and I went up to the counter. It's just on a whim, because used Kinects are kind of hard to find at the moment. And so I just asked him. Like, every other place I've asked, they never have one. I was like, hey, do you have, you know, you have a used Kinect or whatever? And he was like, actually, yeah, we just got one in. So I brought that home, downloaded a ton of demos, and one of the things I was waiting on getting any of the other Mass Effect DLC, because I really wanted to use the Kinect stuff with Mass Effect, and I wanted new stuff to play. So, like, part of the deals, I actually already completed Leviathan, and then I just started Omega. And yes, I am one of those people who actually buy, like, the costume DLCs.
Oh, do you really? Like, yeah. Like the really totally useless just makes it a different color?
Yeah, that's me. But you don't understand. It's cool
obviously don't understand.
It's cool to have Liara in a new costume.
Okay.
While I'm in mid-mission. And then it's awesome because I can yell the commands and they do it. Oh, so cool.
Oh, because you got the Kinect, yeah. Yeah, I know, I'm jealous, actually. I've heard that the Kinect works really good with the Skyrim shouts.
Oh, the dragon shouts.
Yep. I am actually jealous. But I don't have a PS3. Although, speaking of which, totally random news, the Skyrim DLC for the PS3 is coming out in February.
Nice, finally.
I know, right? So, you know, and I have PC, so I'm already on a 30-day delay in general, which is obnoxious enough. I can't imagine having a PS3 and having a fucking no delay.
A lot of cool stuff. Any other games you've gotten to in the break?
No, see, I actually did beat Bioshock 1.
Nice.
And I'm laughing because I think I told you about, after the first hour of freaking out and killing everything by setting everything and myself on fire, as a reaction to things jumping out on me, something in my brain switched and I just calmed the fuck down, basically. And I'm laughing because I'm like, oh, this is how violence in video games engenders violence in the streets. My brain has switched over and now I'm going to go murder big daddies that are just walking to the 7-Eleven. No! You know, so it went from freaking me out to me hearing the little sisters walking around with the big daddies, and like my predator instincts kicked in. I was like, where is it? I'm gonna get it.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, I almost kind of want, I know you always talk about spoilers.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me, because I haven't been able to finish, I got about halfway through and I haven't been able to finish Bioshock. And I almost just want to ask you, like, off air, because I want to do it here, but I'll ask you, like, what the hell happens? Like, what's the big twist? What does everybody talk about?
Basically, like, the whole thing, you're set up, you're led by this guy, Atlas, and set up to take down Andrew Ryan, who built the underwater city, whose name now escapes me, Rapture.
Rapture.
And, yeah, Rapture, exactly. So Andrew Ryan built Rapture as this fucking libertarian paradise. It is totally like word for word Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged kind of shit. So you're going through, and then you finally get to the point where you run into where you go to kill Andrew Ryan, and it turns out that you were a brainwashed puppet of Atlas, aka Fontaine, who was the guy. Like, you see all these this information about Fontaine throughout the game about him trying to take down Andrew Ryan and take over the city for himself. So Fontaine actually built you. You're like a test tube baby that's been conditioned to obey any command as long as it's followed by the phrase "Would you kindly?" And then the last hour of the game is you breaking your conditioning to go fuck up Fontaine, who's been juicing, and he's a little scary.
Wow. All right. Not bad.
So it was pretty cool. The second game is pretty much more the same. So they introduced some new mechanics. They changed some of the mini games around in the second game, but it's still kind of very similar thematically. And then there's no real twist at the end. Like, you think, oh, maybe that this chick that you're chasing down is going to turn out to be this other person, or there's going to be some crazy shit. No, it doesn't. The game doesn't fuck with you in the second game. So actually, in a way, that's kind of disappointing. You're like, oh man, I was hoping for a mind fuck. I got nothing.
Okay. Well, with that talk, we're actually gonna get into some topics. Okay.
Hey, yeah.
Topics are awesome.
What did I name tonight's show? Two self-aggrandizing jerks in the library, and we're not the jerks. I'm just gonna make that
Yeah,
clear.
because I don't
This is
think I'm
the
jerkish.
No, you're not. You're a great person. No,
I
the
think I'm.
articles you sent me today, like two out of three made my angry still angry.
Oh, see, and that's it's funny because I look for hot buttons now.
Are you actually looking for ways to piss me off? Has this
Oh,
become
I look
a
for hot
feature for
buttons that will
you?
engage either one of us. And I saw two of these and went, oh, fuck yes.
No, it's all right. All right, so article the first. Women in Video Gaming's Dirty Little Secrets. I actually did see this earlier in the week because I happen to follow and be friends with a number of women game developers because, I like that kind of thing, so it's cool. And I basically got a front row seat to their reactions to this article, and it was a whole lot of like, oh my fucking God, are you kidding me? So basically, this chick, she's a head of HR for EA. Is
Yeah,
that
Gabrielle Toledano.
right? This chick, like I said. Anyway, so I mean, keep in mind that you've got to keep in mind bias and context too. So anytime someone bitches about, the lack of women developers or all that kind of things, this basically comes down on her. Okay, so on the one hand, a lot of it can be read as just her trying to defend herself and her position and what she does and make it sound like, that they don't have sexist hiring practices, because that's basically her job she's having to defend right here. So if you can kind of read it with that grain of salt and defensive tone, it takes some of the sting out of what she has to say. A lot of what she has to say boils down to that it's like that women just aren't trying hard enough. We'd love to hire more women, but we can't find enough of them to hire, especially in engineering. She talks about supporting educational institutions that are working so hard to aggressively encourage women to pursue the science and engineering careers, which is, I mean, obviously, because if women don't join this industry because they believe success will limit them, they're missing out. And that's a great idea to say, but the more you do to combat sexism in the industry, the more the women will be able to be drawn to it. And basically what she's saying instead is that the women just are letting, the sexism in the industry hold them back. And it's like, well, that's what the sexism is in the industry is basically designed to do.
Yeah.
It's built to encourage this boys' club, and you're basically saying, well, women just need to ignore that bit and push on anyway. And some of them do, and they're very strong women who do that. But that is a fucking hard environment to work in, and to blow it off that kind of easily is just crap. Sexism is an unfortunate reality of our times. That's kind of a really defeatist attitude to take, where it's like, well, you just have to accept it because it's there. And I'm like, no, I really don't have to accept it because it's there. It's crap.
I hear
Women,
that.
as women, we must seek the power and ability in ourselves to change the dynamic. Sure, but you know what? Yeah, it's we can't just let the people who do perpetuate sexism be. It's not just ignore them till they go away. There is a certain amount of we need to actually fix the problem, and make it easier, therefore, for women to stand up to people and fix the problem themselves. It just, it so blatantly ignores half the issue and it is so dismissive of it in a way that just makes it.
So I take I will give you time to boil. I can see the steam rising from your ears, like in my mind I can see it. I guess that was one of the things I took away from it. There are some points made as far as like her first step, right? The first secret was, like, I felt like the article title was a different article than what the rest of it was.
Right. Like, I was like, you see the title, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to learn some really cool, like, new facts and interesting statistics and data about women in video games that I can use to arm myself when people start saying things like only boys play video games and stuff like that, but no.
But it's
and
not.
Honestly, she starts out. Oh, sorry. Look, I'm sorry. You can't talk. No, I'm still not done. I'm still angry. She goes, women need to start by recognizing that we are, in fact, gamers. Maybe you don't want to admit it, but more often than not, you know, women today are playing video games, which isn't really a fucking secret, is it? Again, she paints this picture of, like, women as these really casual, light, like, I have a few minutes to kill on my phone gamers, you know, these kind of tee-hee gamers that I just.
I totally get that, right? Because that was my thing. I was like, okay, I started to read this article, and the article I got was very different. And it almost like the title should have been, here's the dirty secrets for, like, really stupid, narrow-minded men. Should have been, like, that first paragraph would have been comfortable in an article that way. Because it almost seems like she's trying to convince somebody that these are, in fact, real games. Like, Rock Band on the Wii. Scrabble, Bejeweled. She goes through all these, and there's only like a vocal minority who thinks that these aren't actual games, and that anyone who plays them is shitty and not a real gamer. You know what I mean? Like that's
That's it's a like very a handful small of douchebags, and you kind of go, yeah.
Well, that's a stupid minority, and it's just it didn't seem like that. You know, I mean, it's like I sat here and played. You know, I think it's called Bubble Wars on my iPhone. For like an hour and a half.
I think before Christmas, you were all excited about playing Peggle, and I was the one who was like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
really?
I know.
Like this is the game that you're all excited about."
Yeah, reverse sexism or racism or something, whatever. I'm sure that's something. I don't doubt that there are actually a number of studios out there who do want women, as far as, you know, more women in their studio and things like that. She does say that, yeah, my studio, EA, the huge conglomerate that EA is, she says that they don't have enough, and she makes a couple other statements in here that are like, okay, like, that's fine. I just, I don't know. I have to say, when I read it first, I didn't actually know her position. I didn't know, like, her actual job position. I didn't know it until the very end of the article. And then once I knew who she worked for and what she did, you then go, oh, okay. You know, and I even read the comments, and there's someone in the comments that was like, all she left out was the PR video for EA.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, there's some truth to that, right? It's hard to take that out of it because of what she's talking about. One of the things she talks about is, you know, that there is that paragraph of there is sexism and harassment things in the industry, you know, but. And the thing is, I did feel like she kind of belittled, maybe not meaning to, but belittled the amount of it that is actually out there and well documented.
Right, and she starts out really strongly awful. Like, right here, you know, like the second sentence, we've all heard the debate, many have accepted as an article of faith that sexism keeps women out of the game studios. As an insider, I find this argument is misguided. It's easy to blame men for not creating an attractive work environment. And then I'm just like, I'm not blaming the men. I'm blaming the people who perpetuate these things, like you. So, bleh. Let me barf all over the article now.
All right. Well, let's switch gears. And let's go to something a little more happy. Right, so
the library article.
Yeah, right. There was a cool article on GamesBeat It's written by Rob Lefebvre. I think I got that right. And it was actually kind of cool, right? Because we've talked about this before. I know we've talked about the Reading Rainbow app before and how that was kind of a cool thing. And more now, we're pulling for, I think I can say for both of us, pulling for libraries to stay relevant and find new ways to continue on. Because it's something that I would hate to, in 20 years, my kids not be able to experience, because I kind of grew up in libraries to a certain point, and so there was actually a cool article about the American Library Association actually kind of endorses video gaming a little bit, and they kind of place them in a similar class to board games. And what they're going to do, at least if everything kind of works out, is to start carrying video games as well as board games in their libraries, and especially for video games, maybe start like a checkout process, just like you can do DVDs now and CDs and stuff. And then also have like areas in their libraries to actually have tabletop games and board games, and have where people can come and a couple people at a time and play in an environment that is still, not secure is the wrong word. It's not what I'm trying to say, but I can't figure out the word. But just in an
In an
environment.
environment that is far more community oriented than your mother's basement. How about
Exactly.
that?
Yes, that's exactly
You
what I'm trying
know.
to say. So it's kind of cool, and I kind of root for that, some libraries and think kind of thinking outside of the box, and maybe recognizing that, no video game, the tired thing of video games are bad. Video games are the new rock and roll, and we gotta stay away, and we can't let it infect our children. All that bullshit that I hate. Like I
See,
don't like
you
it.
sent me, okay, because that leads into our other article in a second, but you sent me that other article, and I wasn't really, I'm glad to hear you say that, because with that other article, I wasn't really sure what side you were going to end up on, and I was like, am I just going to have to sit, is this just going to be an hour of J. Dot yells about shit like an old person?
Yeah,
I'm going to
that
just
and that
take my
one,
teeth out, rah, 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 rah. Okay.
actually
So
really looking forward to
I'm
that one. So this one will be short, this topic, because I want to get into that. But
I mean, there's really not much to say. The libraries have decided. I mean, obviously, there's budget issues, and video games are still kind of a valuable item. So I imagine theft and loss would be a greater concern with video games than with books. But the library's got the library. True story, totally random aside. When I first moved to Pittsburgh, and I was working in an office that was across the street from a library, so I walked across the street to go get a library card because I'm in a new city and. It's pretty cool to have one right there. So I walk in and I walk up to the counter and I'm like, "Lady, I need a library card." And she looks at me dead in the eye and goes, "I'm the librarian to give it to you."
How old were you when when this happened?
Oh, I was hella like 26. I was, as they say, I was a grown ass woman.
I'm
So
envisioning like a
I don't know.
7-year-old walking in here going, "Ah, what a library card."
I want a library card. Well, and I at the time was working, or I mean, I tend to, because I work for the Department of Welfare as my day job. I tend to work in low income neighborhoods that don't have access to a lot of education, where libraries are actually a vitally important service for a lot more reasons than just because of the availability of books and entertainment for people who couldn't afford to buy it, but also just because libraries tend to get a lot of community outreach and a lot of community education. And I'm totally selling libraries right now. Everybody go support your libraries. I owe my library $30. Every time I pay my overdue fines, I'm actually kind of proud. I'm like, here, library, have some money. You deserve it. I know, right?
Seriously, though, do go support your libraries, because that is actually. Now you have me saying library, damn it. I
Library,
actually
yeah. So,
just
but
said
anyway, but
library.
I work in neighborhoods that tend to, I don't really have a really great PC way to put it, but let's just say that Oxford College English is not a strong thing that you
Wow.
hear in those neighborhoods. There are certainly dialectical changes in the English language depending on what kind of neighborhood you're in, and that kind of neighborhood is probably one where the librarians hear library far more often than anything else. And I was really actually super pleased that rather than being pissy about it, she just accepted that that was also a word.
And she
And just,
just kind of accepted it and went with it and
yeah, she was more focused on again, the community and making sure that people had access to the library than nitpicking over how they actually pronounced the word. So I was like, Yes, this is how life should be, you know?
I'm
So.
just happy that a there was a very good opportunity for like, a library association to be one of those that's like, no, we don't wanna, you know what I mean, affect our youth culture with this and they get enough of this or whatever. Like, I actually like that they're kind of being not stupid. And
And they're being totally cool. So that's why the videos, especially the video games and libraries, is especially really cool because it's like rather than trying to be curmudgeonly stodgy institution of the way things ought to be, they're getting a lot better at adapting and recognizing the way things are and using that to their to advantage to continue the kind of programs and outreach and community stuff that they are getting really good at. So yeah, no.
exactly. And that kind of leads us into our next one, but it's one of those things, right? Because when we get into that, I'll have like a kind of a story, because there's something important to me that involves libraries. And but okay, so so dancing around it here, so I'll introduce this and then I will let you go
I'm
off
gonna introduce this.
because
I'm
I'm
gonna
not
have to listen to
stupid.
Jenny bitch about this too, because you know she's pissed off about it too.
The PA report, which I actually really do enjoy,
Every
wrote
good thing's good.
yeah, it's good. It's got good stuff on it. Ben Kachera wrote an article recently that was The Challenges and Hypocrisies of Raising Kids in a Gaming House. And it's, honestly, it's one of the more, like, I guess, personal articles that he's written. And it's, it's actually it's an interesting read, because now we're getting to this point where games have been around so long that, you're getting new generations who are born with these and who are around it from their, from gosh, being a baby. You know what I mean? That it's just a
Yeah,
matter of fact.
transparency,
It's
right.
in the house. And now we're starting to get middle-aged people who are now parenting and who have grown up with games and all these things. And so now it's just becoming more of a, okay, well, what do we do now? Now I have a child, and now how do I raise this, this little person in, in this environment that, I mean, it was never a thought, before. And he even talks about a little bit about that. You never even thought about it before, because you were in it. And now it's like, oh, well, do I expose my kid to this, or do I do this, or whatever? It's interesting, but I'm interested to hear your take on it first.
A little background, and I realize that my personal history is on the more unusual side, and not in a creepy, like I was raised in a basement in chains kind of unusual, but my parents were ridiculously lenient. There was almost, apart from like, don't hurt myself and don't hurt other people, there was no particular media I wasn't allowed to watch. If I was going to go out with my friends, I was allowed to pretty much go out and do whatever I felt like doing as long as A, they knew where I was. And I called home, at like 10 o'clock or whatever, so that again, as long as I checked in with them and they could know where I was and that was it. So, I had plenty of nights that I was, running around with my friends, late as hell, watching movies, doing whatever, going to the fucking arcade and screwing around. And I didn't have a lot of parental strictness in my life, okay? So, like in a way, they knew what they were doing. It wasn't like lax parenting because they were lazy. I think they had a theory, and I find it was one that pretty much worked out, which is to say that most kids, when you throw them in these environments that a lot of people feel you need to protect your kids from, they don't get damaged. They learn how to cope, I learned that I was allowed to watch horror movies if I wanted to, and I really didn't want to, like there was no need for my parents to protect me from that because I pretty much had enough wits in my brain to recognize that I had wanted no fucking part of this. So when you give me articles like this, where the guy talks about basically all the restrictions he puts on his kids to protect them and from what, I'm not really clear from the article, I just mostly am like, dude, you're fucking smoking crack. Like, you have invented this boogeyman that you're desperately trying to protect your children from. Like, he talks about finding a comic book under his mattress, like it's contraband. And I'm like, if your kids are at a point where they have to hide comic books from you, you have gone over the edge. And the video game restrictions he talks about, and I'm like, have you not paid attention to how much they talk about video games actually enhance early development with children? And he makes it sound like books and video games are a zero-sum game. Like if they're not playing video games, they're obviously going to read more books. And I'm like, that is not at all how learning and loving reading works,
No, that's not.
even a little bit. Like that's probably the part where you're like, that was bullshit. Because like I like I had video games since I was little. You know, I had an Atari, or my parents had an Atari when I was like 5 or 6, and you know, I also love to read. I read constantly. You know, unlike most people who apparently feel the way to deal with media that they find unpleasant is to go on a crusade and destroy everything. And normally my particular response to something I find displeasing is to go, I'm not going to watch that. Problem solved, you know?
Yeah.
Or media that I like any despite its flaws. Like I've just finished up season 7 of Supernatural, and I can tell you right now that every single woman on that show gets murdered horribly for the advancement of plot. And all of the people of color also get murdered or are evil and then get murdered. You know, like that show has some things that are problematic with it. I still enjoy it. I'm still capable, but I'm capable of enjoying things while recognizing the problems with it. And I feel like that is a skill that is lost when your response to something problematic with your children is to hide it from them.
That I understand. And
So,
I also agree with that.
yeah. We agree. Arr.
I agree
Oh,
with that.
I guess me too. And then he basically has this implication between video games and violence where he hints that there's some connection there. And that I find infuriating as well. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything else? You know, so you're talking about other parents being shitty parents and somehow correlating that with them letting their kids play video games. Like the video games are somehow at fault there. You
Yeah.
don't have any concept that maybe the fact that they're shitty parents is the problem. You
True.
know, like, oh, brain.
I totally so okay. So I have a couple things. For one, Batman Hush is actually really good, so he should read like Batman Hush. It's a good book.
Like, just let me read it. You know, like I was reading freaking adult books when I was a kid, and guess what that did too? I'm not adult in the sexy. Well, I don't know. Vampire Lestat was kind of sexy, but like I was reading you know, adult fiction, grown up fiction, not in the teen section when I was, you know, 9 or 10, and partly
Yeah.
because again, my parents censored anything. They encouraged me to read and all of this, and what happened was my reading comprehension is freaking through the roof. You know, like there are
Well,
benefits to this thing.
yeah, and
So.
okay, so a little context for me. I grew up in a single parent household, and my mom had me when she was younger, and it was just pretty much us. So I was in libraries a ton when I was younger. Like, we would go together, it'd be our Saturday afternoon or whatever. We'd walk to the library, and then we'd spend a couple of hours there checking out books or whatever. I'd read, I'd take home like 3 or 4, read a couple of them, and then constantly switch. Like, I was an avid, but at the same time, that's also when I started to discover comics. And that's when I funny, I discovered comics going to school. At our 6th grade elementary, that's where they carried comic books. I discovered Superman and Spider-Man in that library at the school. And that's when I started to develop that love, right? So libraries actually kind of hold a special place there as far as that's where I've actually enjoyed a lot of time when I was younger. And also, I discovered a very big love of mine, for my pretty much my entire life. So I read a lot when I was younger. And then I got a Sega. I got my Genesis, probably like sixth, probably kind of around, like a little bit before I really got into comics. But kind of in between, when I first started going to libraries and stuff and reading a ton, and then between comics. So, I've been around it, but I kind of came in a little bit later. The thing is, I've always, the way I approach this kind of thing, I've always thought that you don't ignore those when people like kind of put it aside because they just don't want to talk about it and they think the problem goes away. That always just came off as stupid to me because that doesn't work, right? You have to have a conversation about it and why. And my mom always talked to me like I was an adult, and I'm not saying she cussed me out, but I'm saying she always actually talked to me like I was not stupid, and we actually had conversations about things. And it was never
You
just
know what?
no.
And that was exactly the line that got me in this article too, because he like towards the bottom. Well, where was it? He literally just says, "I don't want to talk to my kids about this crap." And I'm like, "Well, that's because you're a fucking crappy parent at that point. Like, that's the point where you're becoming a crappy parent, when you're basically avoiding these topics not because you actually think it's saving your kids any trouble, but because you just don't feel like dealing with your kids."
True. Yes, and that to me is a okay. That's a and if that's your parenting style, who be it for me to say you're a shitty parent, whatever. But for me, that is not something I grew up with, and B that I would impart on mine. Like, because I don't think that actually solves anything, and in fact, it leaves the door open to for you're always going to come back to it. You know, why do kids get into stuff? Because they're curious. So that's one. That's one part that I always just kind of disagree with, right? Two, the correlation that yeah he kind of draws there. I have a real problem with lazy parents, right? As a previous parent myself, and this is always a topic or whatever. I have like a real hard time with like parents who don't do their jobs because it is a job. Because you were skilled enough to bring a baby into this world, so do your fucking job and take care of it, right?
Right.
It's not their fault. So get you if it doesn't matter what you want to do, your world is about them now. So get off your ass and do your job. So that means everything. That means know what they're doing. Don't be an absentee. Get your ass involved. Like, these are things that you need to do. And so to come in, and I have a real problem with the parents who just like for their 5-year-old walk in and get Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto because it's a mature A, it's a mature rated game, but B, just be fucking use fucking common sense. Every kid matures differently. I never have this blanket rule of 5-year-olds can't handle this. It depends on the child. Every person's different. So if what one 12-year-old can handle, another 12-year-old can't. It's all about
Right.
their
You pay
personality
attention to your
and
kids and realize what they're about. Yeah,
yeah.
my brother was playing, I don't think it was Call of Duty, but it was a definitely a first-person shooter. And he was 5 or 6, and he fucking ruled at that game, which was especially obnoxious too. Oh God, it's
Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell.
Is that
Yes.
Okay.
So he played Splinter Cell when he was 5 or 6, and he learned a lot of hand-eye motor coordination, and he played the game, and he was really good at it. And you know, but there was monitoring there. It wasn't like, oh, here, go entertain yourself and leave us alone. It was, you know, making sure that, you know, that the people that are talking to him realize that he's a fucking 6-year-old, you know, and aren't being douchebags, and you know, keeping track of what he's doing and making sure that that behavior doesn't translate to outside of the video games, you know. So if he starts doing shit that he shouldn't be doing in real life, you know, correct that shit pretty quickly, and being actual parents, you know.
Yeah,
So there's a difference between parents who use video games to babysit their kids because they don't want to deal with it, and parents who go, you know, I think my cat or my cat,
I think my cat can handle
my cat kicks ass at Splinter Cell. You know, my child would probably be actually good at this game in terms of what the actual mechanics are, and just need supervision while playing and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I totally get, I know where, I mean, what is it? I have a friend who's worked at Captain D's for like a year and hates fish now, right? I get the when he talks about working at GameStop and getting sick of stupid people and people who like take no responsibility for it and they just, you know what I mean? You try and advise them, whatever, because it's like it's important information. However, one doesn't affect the other so much, and I don't think that video games are vi cause violence in kids because of those situations. I really didn't see the correlation between that. As well, it's interesting, right? As a maybe a parent in the next I don't know in the next like 5 years or so, I'll be facing some of these issues. But it's at the same time, I just don't think hiding things helps them in the long run. Like, there's no way to shield your kids from everything, and that's the
Right,
going
and
back to our first article. That's the number one dirty secret of parenting. You will never take all of that out. You will never shield them from everything because it's impossible. And you just have to use judgment and what to put in front of them and what to watch with them and what to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just common sense. That's all it is.
hey, a little bit, yeah. You want to know what the most embarrassing memory of my teenage years is?
What?
For the first couple weeks of high school, okay, and you know, this is like prime time, you'll be a woman or you're turning into a woman time, right? And my dad, for the first 2 weeks of high school, he had to drive me to school just because we hadn't actually moved into the neighborhood where the bus stop was. And then, So he took this as an opportunity, as I'm trapped in the car with him for 45 minutes every day, to have the talk with me. Now, I, you know, like, we'd already talked about sex. I mean, I knew what sex was. This was the boys can be lying liars, and here's the lies they tell, and here's, you know, it was the real talk about sex talk, not, you know, penis goes into vagina sex talk. And
wow.
I'm like, what, 14 years old? I'm mortified having to listen to my dad. He actually went down a list of all the things that boys might say to get me to have unprotected sex. Okay. So like, it's horrifying because I'm a teenager and I'm like, oh my God, this is not what I want to hear my dad talk about. Oh my God. My dad is like, all boys are pigs. Even me. You don't even want to know what's going through our heads. It's horrible. And I'm like, I don't think about my dad thinking about that stuff. Ew, ew, ew. But I will fucking tell you what, that I didn't, that left such an impression on me that even when I, at some point, when I was married and we were attempting to have kids, that I was like super freaked out when we took out the protection, and I was like, I don't know about this. When I was 14, my dad traumatized me.
Man.
So, you know, I mean, talk to your kids. Don't
that's crazy
be
though.
Afraid to talk to your kids.
Yeah.
It worked. Right.
I was gonna say you didn't want to do it for a minute. Raise your kids. Exactly. Now, I would, if we didn't already have a title, I would actually put that as the title of the show. But it's interesting. Like, I would recommend giving it a read, see what you think. I mean, there's a lot of people I know now, a lot of people my age who have grown up with games and who are now in the state of raising kids. And, you know, I mean, this is kind of a new problem, right? It's a new issue. We haven't had to deal
with
it.
And raising kids is hard, and there's a lot of tough decisions to make. It's not like, you know, it's not like anyone has, you know, a book of the one simple thing you need to know to raise kids perfectly every time. My dad had this line he used to say where, like, no matter how hard you try to screw up your kids, usually they turn out pretty okay anyway. And it's like, you can just kind of have to recognize that nobody's going to be a perfect parent. You know, nobody's going to do it right 100% and be like, win awesome parent of all time award, you know?
Yeah. No.
We're all,
it's true.
You know, you have to make the decisions you make. You make them sometimes on a split, you know, on a split second basis where you're like, you're faced with this decision that you have to make and you're like, well, we're just going to go with this and hope that worked out.
It's true.
Know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and I just want to specify that I was not saying that I was a perfect one by any means, but what I was saying that, cause I learned a lot, right? I learned a lot from the first go round and I did a lot of shit wrong and whatever, but it's just kind of, there are some things that you kind of have to do, and being lazy is not one of them. You can't do that. So with that, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll get into some collardals.
Our collardable section of the show today, wherein usually what happens is Knight of Oa discusses something way out of our price range, and I try to bring up something as cheap as hell. So we are leading off with cheap as hell today, which is Legos, which I guess, depending on your budgetary things, Legos can be kind of expensive. But in this case, I'm looking at a $12.99 Lego set of the motherfucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, anybody who's followed the show for a while knows that I have mocked Knight of Oa extensively for his love of Ninja Turtles, and I'm basically a huge hypocritical asshole about it, you know? So my housemate brought home this particular set I'm looking at, which was Escape from the Lab. And, okay, help me out. Who's the orange Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Michelangelo.
With the orange. Okay, so we've got Michelangelo here. And motherfucking Krang. And these, oh my God. and it's all in Legos, and he's got this little disc that's actually a little pizza, and it's great. Like, I am in love with these little Lego toys, and it is probably, my love of Legos overriding my good sense here. But yeah, these Lego, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Lego sets are adorable. They're, a quality Lego brand. They're amazing. And I admit that I spent my afternoon totally playing with my housemate's new toy.
I can't even get mad at you about that.
No, right. But they're definitely worth picking up, and especially if you're a Ninja Turtle fan. Speaking of which, actually, here's a brief aside. Did you hear that the Krang in the new Ninja Turtle series is going to be voiced by Roseanne Barr?
Nuh-uh, really?
True
Oh,
story.
that's perfect.
I know, right? Like, you think about it, and then you're like, no, that totally works.
Shredder! Give me some pizza, Shredder!
Yeah, and then John, my boyfriend, was like, yeah, you just need to get Uncle Phil back on as who did he play?
Shredder.
Shredder, as Shredder,
Uncle Phil
yeah,
was
and
Shredder.
then he can
Holy
become a
crap, he
full.
was. I just put that together. Good Lord, I did
I
not know
love
that
that.
till
You
today.
just had a revelation
Like, I
there.
heard the
You're like
voice,
staggered. You're like,
and I just like pictured Shredder saying Carlton, and now I've got it. Like, fucking perfect. So, I was just in the Lego store like yesterday, and
nice.
we were in there last night, and we were just looking around. And since I started my new job, I've got a shelf that is like open for business, and I don't have anything to put there really. So I have like two little figures, and they're on top of my computer actually. So I have all the space. So I've been looking for stuff, little doohickeys, whatever, to put up there. And we're in there, and we're just kind of looking around. And all of a sudden, I found there was a, you know how Marvel has their own Lego line now? And it's
Sure.
really taken off from the Avengers. So, like, there's a Quinjet you can buy, which will be in the office at some point. Will be hanging from a ceiling or something.
Well, you did catch that they're doing a one of those Lego video games with the Marvel
Yes,
heroes,
and I'm
right?
so excited. I'm
I know.
thrilled.
We all like totally had a meltdown in this
I'm
house
thrilled
afterwards.
that they're actually doing a Marvel Lego. Because right now, we borrowed DC Superheroes Lego from a friend. And while we have yet to sit down and play it, I mean, it's supposed to be hilarious. And so it's just, I love the Lego games; they're fun. So I own now a Captain America's Avenging Cycle set, and he's awesome. He's got his little roadster, and he's got a shield. And he's got like two of the, I always forget their name from the movie. It's the two of the alien guys, whatever. But it's Captain America, and I have a little Captain America Lego. I'm so excited, and he's gonna
He's
be
got the
on
little
top of my
Lego
shelf.
shield going on.
And what
Do
I
you think
figure is, I'll test things out.
that we should have a moment of shame here for the fact that we're two grown ass adults geeking out over little Lego figures? Or
I feel no shame for anything I do. So I stopped feeling that.
No, I'm just gonna get squeakier.
Yeah,
Look at it. He's got
I know he's on a bike. He's
a little Captain
awesome. It's and I feel I haven't felt
America. Frank.
shame for something I did since like the third grade. So I,
That's fair.
yeah.
The Krang figurine in the Ninja Turtle set is actually a head. It's a Lego head, so you could actually put it on other little Lego minifig bodies.
Okay, really? Oh, that's
Yes.
awesome. And it's funny
Right.
because at the moment I'm looking up other turtle sets, and I might have to own the
You're looking for Raphael,
I
eh?
might have to buy the turtle van at some point, just because, I mean, why not? It's because it's awesome. So I love the little Lego sets, and they're perfect. They're small, so I can have them at the office and not take up a shit ton of space. So they're not crazy conspicuous, but if someone like comes by and like really decides to look, they're like, "Oh wow, that's kind of cool and kind of different and whatever." Or look at me with utter disdain and wonder why I'm working there, but
I called. I actually, I just started in a new office that's a lot closer to my house, and so I had to set up my desk. And I'm one of those workers that prefers to do everything digitally. Like, I avoid paper as if I can. So most everything I have is saved on my computer, which frees up my shelf space for toys. So I called it sending up the nerd signal as I like filled up that shelf with all of my various toys that I've collected over 8 years of working there. And sure enough, within 30 minutes of putting up my figurines, the guy across to me, I find out, still plays first edition D&D and
nice.
is a total nerd. And so like, this is what we do. This is how we signal to the others in the office that we've arrived and we can talk about
Oh,
things,
absolutely. No, I totally get that, 'cause I've done that at every place I've worked at, and it works. And sometimes it takes them a little bit longer. But, you know, that's how I found like one of my friends at my last job with his Assassin's Creed tattoo on his ankle. Would have never known about that
Right.
unless I had I forget what I had on my desk. I can't remember. Oh, I had the entire Avengers Mighty Mugs. Had all of them. And then I
Nice.
had like Batman's little Batmobile or whatever on my desk one day. And then I had like wallpapers up of like Gears and Assassin's Creed. He came by and saw it one day, and we got into a conversation. And then now we're talking about, oh man, if I pre-order the last game, I get like, I get one of Ezio's hidden blades as a for my shelf. And that's folks, is why you do this. It's because it's a little
Yes.
geek signal, and then everyone's
And it
intrigued.
builds communities. I mean, they try, some people will try to make it sound like being a nerd means you're antisocial alone, and it's actually
It
completely the
really is completely
opposite.
opposite.
It means you are excruciatingly social sometimes to the point of being
And those people are
obnoxious.
douchebags. Who think that about us?
There you go.
and for mine, I've got a Funko, makers of the lovable Pop vinyl figures. That are two of those are sitting on my top of my desktop tower at work, and a couple are here. They've actually come out with they've had a new Disney line for a minute. So like, if you go to Disney stores and stuff, you can find a couple of them, and they're actually pretty cool. But they've also got a smaller line. Basically, they're doing the mystery box thing with their newest figures. So for and they're
Those
smaller,
are
aren't they
adorable.
cute? They're like 2 to 5 inches each. There's three sets. Or, sorry, there's one set of them, which is like eight of them, and they're all different characters. But then there's two variations of each of those, which makes for almost like a total of three different sets, and each of the three have different expressions on their faces and are actually in different positions and stuff. So it's kind of cool because you might get a different Stitch. You might get Stitch again in like, two boxes, but you might get a different variation of them. So it kind of.
Yeah, and Stitch is adorable. I'm actually kind of enjoying Maleficent. I like her angry
I know, I
face.
kind of love
And
that.
actually Tinkerbell's I am disappointed in your life choices face is
I know. I
kind
kind of
of
like the Mikey, the very happy Mikey with eye closed. I kind of like
Oh
him, and I love Stitch.
yeah.
Stitch is like one of my favorites.
Yeah,
Also,
oh yeah. Everybody loves
who got
Stitch.
lazy on the Jack Skellington? Because two of him are exactly the same.
I know, I was just noticing that too.
I feel cheated. I feel.
Apparently, Jack Skellington only has two expressions, happy and trying to lick his own eyeball, and that's it.
Evidently, that's the case. But those are cool. They'll start going on shelves and pre-orders on February 28th. But it's kind of cool. I've always been a little hesitant to do the whole blind box thing because, I mean, again, if you're going to spend the money, you don't know what you're getting. But there is kind of an element of fun. And if they're.
No, but you know what? Blind boxes make great
Yeah, they do.
presents. I'll tell you that. I got a couple blind box Marvel figure like keychain stuff at Christmas time, and I got a Wolverine out of it, which had I had my own choice, I probably wouldn't have picked. Like I like Wolverine, but there are just other characters that I like better.
Yeah.
But as a gift from my parents and that and their acknowledgement that I like this stuff and we bought you this randomized figurine, it's kind of way exciting when you're basically when you're not making the investment yourself. And then, having to flinch at maybe getting the quote wrong thing when someone else is just getting you a gift where it gets to be like an extra surprise. They're actually kind of bitching that
Yeah,
way. So.
agreed. No, they're kind of cool that way. I will probably end up buying a couple. I probably will, especially if my comic stores get them. I will be spending way too much money on those. Because they're fun. Those are perfect for work. Like, those are PC, and they're, you know what I mean? Work's not going to frown on them. I mean, how are you going to have a Mickey Mouse on your desk and someone's going to get pissed?
You know what's funny? I have crap on my desk that mostly I just skate by because no one knows what it is. Like I have a one of those big-headed My Little Cthulhu toys,
Nice.
and it cracks me up because like everybody loves it because it's such a jolly looking little toy, and they're like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Sit down, let me explain Cthulhu to you. You got a minute? I got to do a Google image search." And my boss cracked me up the most because she's totally not into the nerd stuff, and not not in a bad way. I love my boss; she was a great lady. But she used to love to come over to my desk and rub the My Little Cthulhu's big fat head. She just liked the texture of it. And I was like, this is just funny on levels you don't even know.
Yeah.
But it made her happy, and it made me happy to have the Cthulhu doll on my desk. And, pretty much everybody wins at that point.
Makes sense. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, okay. So before we go, I had to highlight,
Ah.
because it's not really a sounding off topic, because now I have a ton of rant. I think it's just awesome, hilarious, and terrible all in the same thing. So
Craigslist is a font of terror bad, oh my God, looking at the depths of humanity kind of place to go, you know. It is the reality TV for those of us who don't have the attention span to actually watch reality TV.
yes, it is. So this dude, this guy, posted.
Like you can't even
I
talk
can't
about
really
it.
because
You're
it
like
makes me laugh
laughing, busy.
every time. He posted a Craigslist ad, and he's talking about evidently he's like doing a role playing session, which is fine, of Star Trek Next Generation. Okay, but supposedly he has. Hey, and I would read the whole thing, but I'm not because I feel like you should read it yourself and go. And I'll have the link here or whatever. And this is via Geekology. But it's kind of great. He's in Canada. It's a 31-year-old guy looking for some people, namely women, to role play with him in a home built. Evidently, he built the bridge and of
And a
the
shuttlecraft.
a small shuttle of the Enterprise in his mom's garage. Which that statement alone.
Next generation, because Picard is apparently the best, and Kirk was a misogynist douchebag, so you know he's got standards.
I love that because midway he like totally stops talking about the actual role playing and just goes into this rant about how Picard is so much better than Kirk, which makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So it's like he thought it, and it's most people would have gone and deleted that, but no, he left it in, right? Just this mind fart like halfway through. So then he needs the women though, because evidently the shuttle the script has a shuttlecraft like crash landing, and so for some
Oh
reason
yeah, he's got a script. He's got, you know, a for this role play. It's not just show up and shag around. It is
no, it's a
no. There's
script.
a script
In the
involved.
script. Also, his mom might make lunch, which is freaking hilarious because I swear, if lunch consists of like Kool-Aid and Cheetos, that would just be the
And
best.
Rice Krispie
And
treats.
crispy treats and oh my God. And just, you know, crazy out there beard, you know.
I just really trust his assurance at the end that nothing weird is going to happen. That just is what sold it for me. Nothing weird is going to happen. And I'm like, yes,
Also,
yeah, I believe you.
he says, please
Okay,
respond
I believe you.
with pic and short bio plus stats. And I went, what the hell? What stats? Of real people don't actually have stats, homie. Like, that doesn't. I get it if you're bringing a character that you made for, like, a game, but these are real people just responding. Like, what stats? I don't
Yeah,
understand.
like he's not talking about playing like tabletop pen and
No.
pencil. He's like bring costumes, bring props, I have all this stuff. And
I have
yeah,
a
I
bridge. I have a bridge. And I kind of like what the
Which,
guy
you know,
says.
by the way, if it's any good, I don't even care if it's any good. If it's fucking made out of cardboard, I'm gonna be jealous. I want the bridge of the Enterprise, I'll tell you what.
Well, I mean, true. Could I really hate on him if he actually built the bridge? No. But there's a part of me that's like, man. And I just love that his explanation is that he needs women, right? Because he's like, he'd rather have women because the script deals with the crash hover like shuttlecraft. That's the reason he needs women. And it kind of it's funny to me
What
because
was it? Oh my God, the part where I was like, I'm not sure about this guy, where he was like, where you're basically the script includes being stuck in the shuttlecraft for hours or something. I'm like, yeah, let me just lock myself in a small room with this guy I've met on
with
Craigslist
this
for
random
hours
guy.
while I'm dressed in a Next Generation
For real.
onesie.
Also, I love that the picture because you know he's real nice at the end, like nothing weird is gonna happen. That's it, right? It's his like assurance. But then he puts a picture of Worf in the post.
Looking like with the eyebrow arched of like,
Yeah, and I'm like, why didn't he put a picture of himself like not being weird? Like that would have been the best compliment to this little article he wrote.
what would a picture of himself not being weird be? Especially following that, even if he just like drew up, you know, put up a picture of himself like, you know, holding a glass of Kool-Aid and a Rice Krispie treat in a congenial manner, I would still be like,
It's still
I
weird.
don't know,
But
guy.
at least you'd have a face to be able to give to like your relatives and go, okay, if I don't come
You know
back from
what?
this.
I really fucking hope that this secretly turns out to be Michael Dorn.
Wouldn't it be awesome if it actually was him and he was just so bummed that the show ended
That
that he just wanted to reenact it? That'd be awesome. He's that hard up and sad that the Next Generation is done that he was like, fuck it, I'll just write my own script and then I'll build a bridge in my mom's basement. Because really, what has Michael Dorn done since then? And then so he ran out of money, he built his own bridge in his basement, and now he's just hiring random people on Craigslist. Oh, that's awesome.
Let's answer the ad. Will you go with me?
No.
Will you be
No.
my safety buddy?
Also, it's in Canada, so it's not even here. But,
Oh, whatever. Canada's awesome. Well, then obviously nothing's gonna weird is gonna happen
well,
in
because it's
Canada. What's the
Canada,
worst that can
nothing weird
happen?
happens in Canada. I mean, they have mo you know, they have, you know,
Wasn't the whole
Monty's
movie
there.
Fargo set in
No
Canada?
one would fuck with a Monty.
Oh no, North Dakota. Still,
North Dakota.
anyway, never mind. Cut that part out about Fargo. That was dumb.
Pfft, okay. So anyway,
Okay, so Michael Thorne put up this. It's obviously
I
Michael
think it
Thorne now
is.
that
I think
we've
we've cracked the puzzle. We've cracked the case. Curiosity's Cube has nothing on this.
and on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up.
I agree. So, when you're not listening to the podcast and going to our various websites, are you still, do you have any new reviews that you are writing for Women Reading Comics?
Yes, well, I had the Hawkeye review last time, and then recently actually went up a review of Womanthology Space. It's actually an unfavorable review, so I was like, that was my I got to experience what it's right to what it's like to write a review when you didn't actually enjoy something the way that you wanted
Yeah.
to. So go on over to Women Reading Comics, read up on Womanthology Space. Let me know if my review was helpful or not, or if I basically was just blowing a bunch of smoke out my ass. Critic life ain't easy, but I'm not exactly trying to be an asshole about it either. So, definitely head on over. There's other reviews. The editor is a big fan of Transformers, so there's definitely also a bunch of Transformers reviews and stuff on there. And in general, the site's pretty much shaping up to be really fucking nifty. I'm got it set up to write a few more reviews of Princeless and of the new Captain Marvel series and some other stuff I'm picking up. One of the side effects of the new office is that there's no place to eat lunch. So like I was downtown spending $1 million on lunch whenever I forgot to bring mine, and now that doesn't happen. And I'm not spending money on gas money anymore, and all of that extra money is going to buying comics now. So definitely there's a lot of fuel for the fire coming up.
Nice. Rock on. That's awesome. And then of course you can always catch your comic at vanitygames.com, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir. VanityDGames.com. Right now, we're in the middle of the Saga of Manfreed, which is basically the tale of me and my boyfriend. And yeah, it's getting very saucy right now.
Rock on. You can always, of course, you are Vanity Games. You're at Vanity Games on Twitter, correct?
At Fanny Games on Twitter, you can also find me as J.Sloan on Google Plus. I'm on Tumblr as Vanity Games. Basically, I'm really bored all day at work, so feel free to hit me up on any of those, and I'm happy to chat. Entertain me for once. Arr.
And you can always catch me at Night of Owl on Twitter, and then my articles you can catch on Game Tyrant and as well as Geek Tyrant. They are one entity, and I'm still getting used to saying that, but you know, you can find either one. They'll go to the same place. And I believe I said this on a previous show, that but it was one of the lost episodes that like didn't get edited and released and stuff. So I'll say it again just in
Was that
case.
the episode where I thought you were talking over me the whole time, and it turns out my mic
I
was
think
off, and I was getting pissed off for no reason?
I actually think it was that episode. So the fact that it's lost isn't like exactly terrible, but whatever. Because we were having technical problems all throughout that show. I've been writing now for them for a little bit, and one of the things that I am like making a resolution or a point of in the coming weeks is to be answering comments more. So I've actually I as I told Jada, I'm actually started a new job, and so my hours have changed just a little bit at the moment. And because we're in training, I can't actually get to a com like a computer to actually type these things out and stuff till later in the day. So in the coming weeks, though, my schedule will be changing, and it'll be changing to a very actually beneficial time for my articles and stuff. So expect in the coming weeks here to see me more interactive. on the comments of the articles and stuff like that, because I really do value the fact that everyone is reading and enjoying or not enjoying, whatever your opinion is cool. So I just to let you know, I'm not ignoring. It's just sometimes timing just works out against me at the moment. But coming weeks, I'll be able to kind of interact more. So looking forward to that, and hope you guys are enjoying all the stuff on the site. And until next week, that's a full lid.